books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here. She eased up the short drive and pulled over to the left of the parking space. Instead of heading for a front door, she moved off to the right and entered a half-glass door to the garage. She'd converted this part of the house about 3 years ago into the office for her investigation firm. It was spacious, covered two floors, and faced onto the main road via a small parking area. The sound of people talking floated through to the small porch area. She pushed through the deep green foyer into an old Victorian sitting room. Books of all sizes and shapes adorned shelves, positioned on the walls. Angled brass reading lamps illuminated two desks at one end of the room. A warm glow cast over two people sat at the desks. Towards the front, two large worn leather and cloth settees flanked an old coffee table. The rest of the space had big armchairs of the same style with side tables. More books on each. In between the books were plants and oddments of Victoriana, evoking a feeling of calm and serenity for anyone that came in. Andy stopped and soaked up the atmosphere. She loved this room. It had always been a place she could come and know that everything would be okay. Ellie and Rebecca looked up from their desks and both of them smiled.
Boss!
They both spoke almost simultaneously. Andy smiled back at them.
Oh, it's been one of those days, has it?
Ellie was the first to speak. She was a small, 30-something dark-haired girl. She wore a dress with bright red poppies on a cream background and a pair of killer stilettos. Her dark hair was fashioned in the style of the 50s. A cardigan pulled over her shoulders completed the look of someone who might just be on their way out to a Lindy Hop dance.
You're only the second person either of us has spoken to today, but we haven't been sat here doing nothing. We've been trying to trace the names you left on Becky's desk. I think we've made progress.
Oh, yeah. Jules called. She said she tried you on the mobile. She wants you to call her back.
Becky was as different to Ellie as two women could be. She was tall, slim, blonde hair. Her face was elegant. High cheekbones with a flawless straight nose and lips that were red with no lipstick. She was as close as how most people might describe an elf from a fantasy book as was possible.
Yeah, okay. I'll call her once we've had a talk about what you found.
She walked towards the door behind them. Both women got up and followed her. Andy moved to the back of her desk and sat down in a rather large, high leather-backed chair that looked like it was about to swallow her. The rest of the room was decorated much as the main room, though there was light flooding in from an area on the ceiling covered in glass.
So, what do we have?
Let's start with Arnold Sol. His family runs several businesses, shipping and logistics. His story is one of those familiar ones. He came from Israel in the late 50s and just seemed to flourish in business. He's in his 80s now, but the photos you get of him make him look closer to his early 50s. There doesn't seem to be much dirt on him. He's been married for decades and has two kids. Both help him run the business, and they're married with children of their own. His philanthropic activities are around helping disadvantaged children get a leg up and back into society. Dig a bit further and stuff starts to surface. Rumours in the main, but enough to make you take note.
What rumours?
All to do with what goes on in his estate. He set up an academy for these disadvantaged children, girls of a certain age. Some have had meteoric rises in fortune and hold senior positions in many of his companies. They're happy to sing his praises at every given opportunity. Two of his former prodigies did approach the media with tales of cult occurrences, but they dropped charges and faded away.
Any names for these girls?
Becky raised her eyebrows and gave Andy a look.
I'm still digging.
Okay. If you get any, let's chase them down. They might lead somewhere. If he is that well connected, I will have a word with Jules and see what her connections know.
I've been digging up any information I could on Jeremy Gonzalez, Gabriella's dad, and their family. Like Mr. Arnold, he left his homeland in the 50s. He came over to the UK from Colombia and settled into menial jobs in Pontefract, Yorkshire. He married a local girl, raised a family of four, and until this incident was a normal guy. His wife died of cancer 10 years ago, so he was the sole parent when Gabriella was growing up. Other than that, nothing.
OK, thanks, Ellie. Let's check his finances just to be sure there has been nothing untoward going on. Speak to Carl to see if they have dug anything up. Let's see what else is around. Maybe you should take a trip up there and talk to people she knew. Let's be thorough so we don't miss anything. Right, I have something we need to follow up.
Andy dug into her pocket, pulled out the pin and placed it on the desk. Both women leant in to get a closer look.
What is it?
Ellie said, picking it up and handing it to Becky.
That's the question, isn't it? It was in Gabriella's hand. She was clutching it. She clearly didn't want anyone to know she had it.
It's based on the Tree of Life, but it's got two other bits you don't normally see. I would have thought this was unique, as it has to have been made to order. I'll see what I find.
Ellie looked at Andy.
So? What other info do we have?
She tilted her head to one side.
Anything?
No, not as yet. I haven't had time to sit and think. At the moment, we'll do this the old-fashioned way.
It'll come.
She smiled and backed out of the room, closing the door behind her. Andy picked up the phone and dialed. Jules' voicemail cut in and Andy placed it back, not bothering to leave a message. She leant back in her chair, sighed, slipped off her shoes and closed her eyes. Her head pressed back into the chair and her hands gripped the wooden ends of the arms. The images flooded in. She knew they had been there, but was taken aback by the ferocity and insistence of the experience. Tunnels with interspersed lights fled past her vision as if she were lying down, being pushed along. Doors clattered open, and she could see medical instruments and stands holding bags of fluid. Everything went black and her focus shifted. She was looking at a dormitory. There were gurneys with young women on them in rows, each connected to a drip, and there was no movement from any of them. From her viewpoint, there were dozens of gurneys. They stretched off in both directions. A further shift in her focus. The smell of burning candles filled her nostrils. Dampness seeped into her back as though she were lying on soil. Her vision, still blurred, she tried to move her arms, but they were held. Turning her head, she could see roots of a tree pushing through her arms and into the ground. As she looked, the roots were also through her abdomen and legs. Another shift. Head bowed, kneeling, still the smell of burning candles. Raising her head, she was in a room, darkened yet cathedral-like in structure. A face loomed into her vision. It was a beautiful male face, the most beautiful she had ever seen. Again a shift. Visions of walking through airports, boarding planes, blurred images of people and countries, rooms, pain and release, blackness, then the voice.
He is the one. He controls all. He is the conduit.
Andy snapped back to the present. She was breathing hard, clammy and cold. She shook her head, clearing the fog of the visions. She stood and almost fell, but used the back of the chair to keep herself upright. She reached for a glass on the shelf behind a desk and filled it with liquid from a bottle next to it. She lifted it to her lips. It burned her throat, but pushed a satisfied gurgle from her. Whiskey. Malt whiskey. Single malt. The warmth spread into her stomach, pushing away the last of the fog. She turned back and sat. She rested the glass on the arm of the chair. She lifted it to her lips again and took another, less substantial swallow. Now she had to make sense of what she had seen. She wasn't used to such a rush of visions. Usually there was just a single, truth shown to her, one that led her precisely on a track she needed to follow to get the answer. This was different. There was a feeling behind the visions, one of fear, a feeling that there would be retribution for sharing the visions. That was, to her mind, crazy. How could a non-corporeal entity fear being punished? Andy had never squared away where these murmurings came from. She couldn't bring herself to admit that they were given to her by ghosts. She wasn't sure she believed in ghosts, did she? So she had decided that they were provided by non-corporeal entities. She didn't even know what that meant. But it felt better than ghosts. Either way, how could these entities fear retribution? What punishment could be meted out to something that was not real? Her more immediate problem, despite the philosophical issues around life and death, was that though she had been shown something, she had no real way of knowing where the events had taken place or even what they meant. The face of the man was of little use, as she had never seen it before, and it wasn't as if she could print it off from memory. But it was a stunning face, very difficult to forget. Andy sighed and sipped again at the whiskey. Perhaps things would clarify themselves. There must be a way she could use what they had shown her. Given time, more might come to her. She sighed again and put her glass down and stood. The sudden ringing of her phone startled her, and she spun round, knocking her glass off the chair. Reaching out with her right hand, she scooped it up before it had a chance to hit the floor and lifted it back up to her lips. Not wasting that, she thought to herself with a wry smile.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. It's Jules. I need to see you. Can you come over?
Yes, sure. Where are you?
I'm in the penthouse at Brook Street.
Okay, I'll be there in an hour.
The car will be outside in 5 minutes. Dom is driving. I know you like him.
How did you know?
Andy didn't finish. The line clicked off.